This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
That is West Durham.
Good morning.
No longer in Cartersville, back in the Queen City, getting through the ice and the snow.
The hardest part of this trip is right there.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part of the trip, the last 8 feet.
Yeah. You know why that is? Because the current sunshine in the Queen City, the sun does not hit this corner at all.
Apparently.
And so you need ice skates to get from the West Durham parking spot to this particular location.
Yeah, it felt like Eric Heiden speed skating today.
Well, I gave you a 5 o'clock.
You did. I got the
text, warning because I wanted you to make sure that Packer didn't send me a note. I sent you a note at 5 a.m. Be careful.
Rob.
Zipping in here. Same thing with Robert. I sent him one at 4 a.m.
And Robert told me, be careful.
I sent Robert a note this morning at 4 a.m. I said, be careful.
And look what happened when I walked in here.
Yeah. Here's a lawsuit.
Personal injury attorney. What's that guy's name on the network?
No, you know what? There's a... Speaking of personal injury attorneys.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Our buddy John Mita Perrell.
Yes.
Up in B.C. land. He's got a new radio show that he's doing on Sunday mornings on WEEI. And he asked me to be a guest last week. They made their debut.
A rare radio show appearance for the Pac-Man.
What do you mean rare? I do one every day.
But you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Guest slot for a show.
Oh, guest slot. I mean, I'm busy working. I got time to entertain everybody else on that. I'm working myself. So I said, Meter, whatever you need, man. You know, we've been buddies for 30 years.
Yeah.
Whatever you need. So he goes, all right, great. So he says, I'm going to call you Sunday morning at 8 a.m. I said, fine, no problem. I'll be up. And they called 8 o'clock and talked to their producer. You'll be on with John Mita Perrell. And I said, yeah, got it. No problem. You'll be on in 3 minutes. No problem. Done this rodeo a few times. And I'm listening to the commercials on WEEI. And there's a personal injury attorney guy.
Yes.
All right. With a great Boston accent. And he rattles off the phone number. And I still remember it. Why? Call 414-444-4444. I mean, it was like, I'm sitting here 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning listening to this guy in a Boston accent rattle off 414-444-4444. And I'm like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. It's too early for this nonsense.
Right.
So, of course, when the interview started, I said, Meter, I said, I got a bad back or whatever I came up with. I said, do you have a number for a good personal injury attorney? You know, like 414-444-4444. So we were laughing going back and forth. So if you need one, I got this guy in Boston.
Does ads.
It'd be good to go.
Great show. Seth Greenberg will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. Jeff Walls, the head women's coach at Louisville, coming up about 9:15 ahead of the big matchup tomorrow night, NC State and Louisville on the ladies' side from Reynolds Coliseum. Should be sensational. 7:30 over on ESPN. Now, we had ourselves last night.
Boys and girls.
We had ourselves last night real ACC basketball last night.
Felt like old school rock'em sock'em. Dudes on both floors, on the floor, making plays, rallies, comebacks, overtimes, thrills.
Coaching moves.
You got it. That game had every box checked. Yep. And if you didn't stay up for it, shame on you. You'll get the highlights and all that stuff coming up here. But that was a tremendous college basketball game. That was great stuff.
I'm sure we'll have it in the replay archives here on ACC Network at some point today. You'll get a chance to see Florida State beat Duke 79-78 in overtime last night. Tucker Center rolling. Told you they'd be there early. Boy, they were there, too, now.
He's ready to roll.
9 o'clock start, great playmaking, excellent coaching both ways, good defense both ends, shot making I thought we got to see last night. Knowles come out with a one-point victory in overtime.
You do not want to play Florida State in overtime, man.
No.
13 in a row.
Crazy.
Leonard's guys have won in OT. It was just a great basketball game. Mm-hmm. And every time you felt comfortable with one team in the lead, here comes the other guy with a shot. I mean, they knocked each other down. It was back and forth. First half, Florida State goes on a great run to start the second half to really kind of take control, Wes. You know, they're sitting there, they're up by 8-9 coming down the stretch, and then Duke says, all right, enough, let's make a run. And I'm telling you, from inside 5 minutes on,
yep.
It was nothing but a heavyweight fight with everybody just landing major blows. It was a great basketball game.
Terrific, terrific half-court possession basketball last night. Mm-hmm. Boy, really one of the storylines of the game, and this is the one that's probably the sore spot with the Blue Devils this morning. Florida State was all over the offensive glass last night. The Noles, who've got size, they've got depth, they attacked the offensive window last night because they beat Duke 79-78 in overtime, shooting 35% from the floor. An amazing stat. When you think they beat Duke, shooting 35.6% from the floor for the ball game, first team to shoot under 40 and beat Duke since Carolina did it in the 2018 ACC tournament semifinals up in Brooklyn, Pack.
And like I said, this game had everything. Duke's down 8 with 4.5 to go, and you're like, oh, man, the Devils are in trouble. They actually take the lead late, 30 seconds to go on the dunk, and you're like, all right, Florida State, tag, you're it. You're going to make a play? And did they ever.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into this later on. But Duke, of course, has now lost to Miami at home. No shame in that. After watching Miami last night, we'll get to that game in a minute. And then the game last night at Florida State, who, by the way, the Noles are now 47-4 at home in their last 51 against ACC teams. They've been just fantastic at the tuck. But Raekwon Evans, high drifting off the top of the backboard layup to tie things up to send a thing to overtime. Between that and Charlie Moore's crazy shot at Cameron Indoor, I'm not sure what was more spectacular, but they both were. And the game just had everything. I mean, like I said, this felt like an old school ACC special, one that you'd look back 10 years from now and go, oh, yeah, I remember watching that game. It was a great one.
And John Butler, who's as lean as a $1.15 steak, by the way, I mean, John Butler's standing out there in the first half like he's shooting it in the driveway, Pack.
Look at that shot. Holy mackerel.
I mean, what was John Butler at 7 feet doing out there dropping threes on Duke in that first half? Man, that was crazy.
Again, great athleticism, just a terrific basketball. I can't emphasize it enough. We've seen enough dogs. In fact, there was one in particular last night, which we're going to get to.
Wow.
But this game, man, this game had juice. Again, you mentioned the crowd was great.
Oh, the crowd was unbelievable.
The players were totally into it. This was college basketball as we know it in this league, which makes it special.
Totally agree.
Duke, Florida State was fantastic.
Florida State has now won 13 straight overtime games.
Yeah, you don't want to play them in bonus time now. They've been great.
And Leonard Hamilton has 55 wins against AP top 25 teams when he's unranked, which passes Bob Knight for the most in the poll era. My goodness. What two marks those are in this ball game.
Well, like you said, the coaching in this game was great. The tribute to K before the game was a touch of class.
Absolutely.
You know, it's ironic, too, though, Wes. You know, here's Coach K's farewell tour, right? They basically have played three true road games.
Mm-hmm.
They lost at Ohio State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They dominated Wake Forest and Winston-Salem, a game in which Coach K did not participate because he was ill. And then they lose last night. So Coach K technically has not won a true road game in his farewell tour.
Mm.
It's still early.
Yep.
Because let me tell you something now. Florida State's young kids are growing up. We said this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And really, ever since they got shellacked in Winston-Salem, they've really played good basketball. And Duke, Florida State, we keep talking about this over and over. Who is going to emerge, right? Who's going to be able to start slapping together back-to-back wins and back-to-back weeks and get on a run and separate themselves? You're starting to see that in the league right now.
Yeah.
From the very top and I think even at the bottom.
Yeah, it was 59-50 with 6:52 to go in the ball game, and that's when Duke started the comeback. And, you know, it was remarkable playmaking. Here's the other thing, too. Duke had played very little, if any, zone during the course of the year. And last night, the zone proved to be a trick to get them back in the ball. That and their efficiency at the offensive end. But the zone worked. I mean, the change defensively kind of buoyed, I thought, their comeback.
I think, again, Florida State gets all the credit here because they played great defense too. But I thought the key to the whole thing was that Florida State's first 10 minutes of the second half, mm-hmm. or the first 5 to 10 minutes of the second half, they really took ownership of the game. I mean, you know, Duke's up 5 at the half, And then Florida State just kind of jumped them from the get-go. Duke made one field goal the first 9.5 minutes of the second half. And they'll look back at a game that you lose in overtime and go, man, how many lost possessions, empty possessions, in the first 5 to 10 minutes of that second half? Again, everybody will look back in a game like this and say a play here, a play there. But it's hard to go that long a stretch in an incredibly good basketball game and not make but one field goal in 9 minutes and go, hey, guess what? We still had a chance to win on the road. It's a really good club.
I mentioned the zone real quick. Synergy is a tracking software and kind of a video platform that most college basketball programs use to kind of scout their opponents and look at their own teams. And it also provides you some statistical elements. Well, Synergy said last night going into the ball game that Duke had played 38 possessions of zone all year long. 38 possessions equates to about 3% of all their possessions. To show you how little they play it and then to use it as effectively as they did last night, needless to say, that's the brain trust sitting over there on the bench who puts it in and knows when to go to it. And boy, did it really launch the comeback last night. But give Florida State credit. Big shots down the stretch. You mentioned the Evans layup.
Crazy.
The Evans layup is one thing. We showed you the little fall away by Caleb Mills on the baseline. Big shot. And it doesn't take anything away from Banchero, you know, doing another 20-10-5 game. I thought Wendell Moore, and here's the other thing too. Good to see Trevor Keels come back to the bench last night for Duke, because when he went down, it didn't look good. Didn't look good, like kind of rest of the year, not good, but, optimistic that Keels will be back to the lineup sooner than later for Duke. And even maybe as soon as Saturday, we'll see.
Hope so. I look forward to their next matchup, Florida State. Now that was, I mean, that, again, I can't emphasize what a great game that was last night.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of felt like ACC basketball, really did.
It's interesting that the two best games here in the last couple of weeks have both involved Duke. Well, they should be. They're the heavy prohibitive favorite to still win the regular season, by the way. But Pack. One involves Miami and one involves Florida State. Miami is the one that is all, you know, they're kind of, if there's a Cinderella about this, it's because Miami's regained their health. They've got veteran guards in a combination way that mirrors 21st century college basketball, if you will. Florida State, and Leonard's been, and God bless you, Leonard. You've been saying new bloods, my man. But here's the deal. You're now making this a little too customary. So when you become accustomed to great games with Duke, which you have staged really since the night you upset top five Duke with Jason Tatum and all that crowd a few years ago down there, you're working your way out of new blood category. Right, Pack?
Well, they won't be a traditional power because they've not been doing it for decade upon decade.
Sure,
upon
I get decade.
That. So I think Leonard's new blood thing makes a ton of sense. I'll tell you what I'm excited about. How about Florida State at Miami
this
on
Saturday? Yeah.
How about that? I mean, basically, if you put your feet up last night and watched hoops, and we'll get to what Miami did to North Carolina because it's against the law in like 42 states. But Florida State and Miami are going to hook up Saturday. And the first game was tremendous, a great game. Given what's at stake and what those two teams in the Sunshine State did last night to Tobacco Road, the emphasis of that game now is even greater.
Right.
Right. This now becomes one of those pecking order of, hey, you guys have both kind of punched the ticket to be the upper third. Now let's go even higher.
Right.
Now how high can you go? And Miami's playing tremendous with those guards. Florida State was great last night. Anytime they get together, we've talked about this before, doesn't matter the sports, kind of like North Carolina, NC State, you get those kind of rivalry games in the league. And then you put two teams that are really good and well-coached.
Yeah.
Game on, man. Florida State, Miami this weekend. Going to be tremendous.
Oh, yeah. And you start thinking about kind of the way the top of this is going to work. It's okay. Duke is still, in my opinion, the team to beat to win the regular season. But we're now starting to stack a couple three in there behind them. And that's a good thing for the ACC. Now, we'll get to the bigger picture as we move through the month of February and March. But, Pack, in terms of competitive ACC, we're getting it now.
Well, I think before the season started, again, this is where we are always screwed up, and that's why I always tell you polls don't matter before we kick things off or tip things off. But the perception was it's Duke, right, over here. In fact, I even have said it 100 times on the show. It's Duke over here. I'm not worried about them. Who else is going to emerge?
Right.
Well, I think you're starting to get the answer to the question, right? Miami is no longer another cute story. They won some games. No, they can flat out play. In Florida State, Leonard continues to do his thing, and those young kids are playing great.
Right.
And now the question becomes, who can also join Miami, Florida State, and Duke? That now becomes the question, Wes.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Four more games tonight.
How many?
Four on the ACC slate. Three at 7 o'clock. One 9 o'clock game tonight with Virginia visiting Pittsburgh. We'll update you on the schedule and more coming up in the show. Seth Greenberg, 8 o'clock this morning. All right. Category 5 hit Coral Gables last night.
You, that was a Miami Vice crime scene, man. That was a woodshed is what that was.
I had the game on. Long. It was 5-2. I then looked up, and it was 16-5. And then I looked up again. It was 26-11. And I'm thinking, what in the world? That was part of the big issue. Sam Wardenburg went crazy last night. Nice Euro from Isaiah Wong, by the way. This was, I'm going to tell you, Pac, here's the question I had to myself. My brother called me with about 10 minutes left, and I asked him this question. I'll ask you. Miami that good, Carolina that bad, or both?
Well, last night, Miami was that good, and Carolina was that bad. Now, that's, to me, North Carolina, I don't know what happened in North Carolina. I mean, it was kind of like the Kentucky game where you're just going, this is an ambush.
Right.
The first half field goal percentage, Miami shot 58%, North Carolina shot 22%. That game got away from them,
right?
And it was not to come back. I mean, I was so impressed with Miami. Jim Larranaga talked about afterwards that he said, you know, we've had a week to kind of get rested up.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that heels, and this is not an excuse, but North Carolina played Saturday and looked great, blowing out Georgia Tech,
right?
And then traveled down to Miami. But Miami looked so sharp. And, man, the guards are great. They shot the lights out of it. North Carolina had zero answers. And when that thing got away, Wes, I mean, there, at one point the lead reached 33.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, goodness gracious. Man, the Canes, they're just playing lights out. They're playing with so much confidence. Again, I know they got a bunch of six-year dudes, but that counts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're allowed. It's nothing. They're not breaking any laws here.
Yeah.
But that backcourt just totally dominated North Carolina. They dominated.
Miami had the lead for 36 minutes and 42 seconds last night. Once they got it, they didn't let go. Carolina's biggest lead was 3 in the first 14 seconds. There's several things here. One, Armando Bacot, 15 points, 12 rebounds, left the game with 5 minutes to go and he took a nasty fall. Looked like he bruised his hip, backside, whatever. Hubert Davis said after the game he'll probably be pretty sore today. His status, here's the play, by the way, challenging the Charlie Moore layup, and you see he lands squarely on his backside. And Doug Halverson, those guys able to get him up and get him to the bench there, and he walked off, which seemed to be okay. So we'll see where Bacot's status is for Saturday. My guess is, thank goodness it's a Tuesday night game, right? Extra day to potentially rest up. Outside of Bacot last night, nobody else seemed to help Carolina. It was futile. Caleb Love and R.J. Davis were 5 of 22 and 1 for 8 from the floor. For 8 from 3.
Yeah, well, they couldn't throw it in the Atlantic Ocean, Biscayne Bay, or anything else for that matter. And by the way, how about a shout-out to Jim Larranaga? You know, we just talked about Leonard Hamilton and the job he's done at Florida State, which is enough said. The job Jim Larranaga has done at Miami, pretty strong.
Midseason coach of the year?
You know, We didn't get to that topic yesterday, but that's who I had down even prior to last night's complete woodshed job.
Yeah.
And again, I think Forbes has done a great job at Wake Forest.
No question.
But Miami's got these wins now. They're starting to stockpile some W's, and Wake's still kind of figuring that thing out. So I think there's a little difference there. But Jim Larranaga, since he got to rolling into town 10 years ago, Miami is the only team in the ACC. Here's your bar bet. Miami is the only team in the Atlantic Coast Conference with 3 wins by 15 or more over North Carolina. They're the only team in the league with 2 wins by 20 or more over North Carolina. That's a part. It's not Duke. It's not Virginia. It's not these teams that have won national titles. It's Miami.
Right.
And since Jim Larranaga has been down there in beautiful South Beach and Coral Gables, he's 14-17 against Duke. Now, let that marinate a second. I mean, you start talking about, all right, hey, Bennett, got it. Check, right? Virginia basketball. Duke, Coach K, got it. Got that. But you start talking about the blue bloods and the new bloods, Florida State. How about Miami? That's, to me, that's one of those bar bet numbers you go, all right, Jim Larranaga, 14-17 against Duke in North Carolina.
Right.
Pretty strong, right?
Yeah. Okay, two sides of the wall here. The Miami side, which is they continue to improve, they continue to get wins that stockpile resumes. And then there's the Carolina side. You mentioned the Kentucky game earlier.
But there's Purdue's, there's Tennessee.
There's Tennessee.
There's a plenty of beatdowns in between here.
Okay. That takes us to a couple of notes here. One last night appearing on social media after the ball game was over from Inside Carolina, who says, UNC has played four teams that are currently projected in the NCAA tournament field by ESPN. The Tar Heels have lost those four games by an average of 20.8 points.
That is not good.
All right. So, you know, what are we prospecting here? Carolina obviously has work to do. Oh, plenty of work to
do. I'd say.
Is Carolina outside looking in this morning after last night? Because, as you know, Joe Lunardi put them in the field. They were in the field yesterday. In fact, Miami, Lunardi's note yesterday was they would come off the projected field if they lost at home last night, which obviously they didn't. But is Carolina now working their way to the bad side of it?
Well, you got to win games, Wes. I mean, you know, quad one, quad two, this is where, hey, you got to stack up W's. And I keep harping on this.
Yeah.
And North Carolina's got some warts. I mean, they can't just sit back and go, hey, we got the cool jerseys. Remember us? Mm-hmm. You ever been to Smith Center and look up? See all that? That's cool. That's a slow clap.
Right.
That doesn't help you this year. So, yeah, they've got a lot of work to be done on that front still. And they got to hope Baycott's good to go moving forward because he's been fantastic with another double-double last night. But, you know, the flip side, though, I want to go back to Miami. While North Carolina got woodshedded last night, I mean, to me, the story is Miami.
Absolutely.
Not North Carolina.
Right.
Sorry. But, at, you know, no disrespect. And it really doesn't matter what the AP voters do.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me that team is not one of the 25 best
ridiculous.
Teams in America. It's almost laughable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, to the
no
point
question.
Of – it kind of reminds me of Pitt football this year when I kept going – these morons on the AP votes. Now, does anybody watch the game? I'm just asking.
Right.
Because if you've watched Miami, I mean, this run that they're on,
yeah.
There's not 25 teams in America better than Miami.
No question.
Got news for you.
Jordan Cornette tweeted it last night. I think it's high time y'all start respecting Miami Hurricanes hoops.
I mean,
there's no question.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to win at Duke. That game last night was kind of a statement game, whether you think North Carolina, you know, Josh Pastner yesterday, we ran the clip, he's got him in the Final Four as a top 10 team. And Josh Pastner knows more about basketball than all of us times a trillion.
Yeah.
They really embarrassed North Carolina last night. I mean, it's the worst loss for the Heels in ACC play, I think, in, what, 10 years. I mean, it was just an absolute ugly beatdown. But give Miami all the credit. They're the ones that enforced the conflict. I mean, they just beat them up.
By the way, yesterday, the net had Miami at 82.
Oh, sure. Right. That's great. There's 81 teams better than Miami. That's tremendous. Will we count the NBA when they do that? We're going to just count the 30 teams in the NBA? I mean, there's no way there's 81
I totally
teams
agree with you, Mark.
Better than Miami.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, you can count the G League in the NBA. And the current status of the NCAA, and there's not 81 teams better than Miami. Just stupid.
Yeah.
All that's and analytics stuff, that's why I always mock it on this show. That's why I mock it. Just watch the games.
No
you
doubt.
Can figure it out if you're smart enough.
All right. Little history as we go to break here. Sean Kress covers Duke for SI.com. And he went through a series of tweets last night, but the last one may be the one that gives you a little historical perspective. Last time Duke and Carolina lost on the same day in the same state other than North Carolina, but not in the same building. January 3rd, 1942. Duke lost at Temple. Carolina lost at St. Joe's. There was a time where they both lost in the NIT in the 1970s. But that was the same building.
Yeah, Billy called me up last night and told me that one.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer asked me a question during the break. Got the wheels turning here.
Uh-huh. Let's call it a goofball question. Compliments of the SiriusXM afternoon show off campus.
That's the magic of off campus on 84. Where's our sign, by the way?
The glob sign. It's in the vault, the storage facility.
Because it is time to draw the glob out. We'll draw the glob lines here in just a moment. Let's acknowledge, though, that last night in central New York might have been cold outside and icy. You know what happened inside? Your Syracuse Orange showed up last night.
That's the team I've been waiting on.
That's your team. Your making team shots. Showed up here, huh?
Yeah, making shots, man. They shot over 50% in both halves. Buddy Boeheim lighting it up. Gerard was good. Clemson, they out-rebounded the Tigers by 13.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from, right?
Right.
Brad Brunell after the game was really kind of getting on his guy's case a little bit about, hey, where's the toughness? I mean, BC kind of pushed him around with that crazy comeback. There seemed to be a little bit of a hangover there. Give Syracuse credit, man. That's the team I kind of thought we'd see all season long. Making a bunch of shots, putting a 90 spot up on the board. Cuse looked good last night.
I feel like, and I know we can't do this, I feel like we ought to roll it back to Monday when Jim Boeheim got after his team a little bit on the teleconference, the ACC media teleconference, which has turned into a Zoom. And Boeheim was calling people out and talking about players not ready to play, things like that. Well, Jesse Edwards, true to form, fouled out, right? But posted a double-double along the way.
Right.
You know? I mean, Syracuse played last night like Packer expected them to play all year long. And it proved to be a victorious margin, 91-78. Oh, buddy, Boeheim was sensational. I thought he was really good. Clemson did not, in my opinion, do a bad job defending him. But
made some tough shots.
He made some really tough shots.
You know, and here's the thing, too. Syracuse really in total control in the second half. Took ownership, took the lead. We've seen this before.
Right.
Right? In fact, both of these teams have taken control of games in the second half and let big leads slip away. This one did not. Clemson made a run to get it within like six.
Yep.
And then Syracuse went, no, this is our night. Catch you later. And so if you're a Syracuse fan, you look at that team and you go, okay, that's kind of more like it. You know, where do they go from here? They're right there in the glob, which we're going to get to here in a minute. And the flip side, if you're Clemson, you know, after that quick run, you know, winning 5 of 6, they went to Notre Dame, kind of stunk it up, couldn't throw it in the ocean.
Yeah.
Lost the big lead to BC, which was a killer. And then they get thumped last night. And like I said, Brad Brunell kind of calling out the toughness of his basketball team, and they get a bunch of tough dudes coming into town with Pittsburgh this weekend. And you kind of, I sense, at least with Clemson, they're kind of now at the point, right? It was kind of like with Virginia Tech last week, you know, in a game.
One way or the other type thing.
That you, hey, this is a game you've got to win or else this thing can get slip-slide away. I kind of feel that way right now with Clemson. Pittsburgh's coming to town. Your coach is talking about your toughness. You're kind of going on an ugly slide here. Mm. You got to figure out a way to win.
By the way, sidebar to Pitt Clemson on Saturday, P.J. Hall, John Hughley probably be a pretty nice matchup.
And P.J. Hall played well again last night. He's having a good year. Hughley's been fantastic.
No question. And Pitt gets Virginia tonight at home, coming off the win against Louisville last Saturday. Be interesting to see how Capel's team responds. Yep. More on that later. Yep. All right, you ready?
Let's do it. Glob.
Let's go to the standings because you're going to see 9 teams in the ACC standings plus or minus 2 games of 500. Okay? Just kind of draw your lines. There you go. You see the 2-4 crowd. That's who we're looking at right now. 2 in the loss column, 4 in the loss column, all the way through. It's a big number pack, but we're the right men for the job.
Yeah, I still think there needs to be some more definition, but we're getting to the point of the season where you're starting to see some separation of top third, middle third, bottom third, right? Because right now, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, NC State, and Clemson have work to be done. The good news for Virginia Tech, you've got some great opportunities. You're coming off a win.
Yep.
There feels to be some upside. But that bottom group, it's kind of like panic time. It's like time to start showing something. We know about Miami. We know about Florida State. Duke's doing their thing. Notre Dame's sitting there. So you got it. You kind of start seeing the infamous glob starting to form here. And that's why I still think we're about a week away from having more definition, Wes, But you're starting to see it form right in front of your very eyes.
Hmm. So you're not comfortable drawing the 2-4 line.
I think there's still some teams that can influence me, if that makes any sense.
All right, well, let me give you one. Virginia Tech plays at NC State tonight.
Here we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Bottom of the glob game.
Loser is in deep trouble. That's what I look at. The loser of that game is, you may play yourself out of the glob, mm-hmm. right? And sure. Here's NC State, you know, fresh off of feeling good about going, doing your thing at Louisville. Virginia Tech's got to feel great. They got their first league win. This is a team we've all thought was going to be pretty good. Now, can you take care of business against the Wolfpack? You didn't at home. You're going to have to do it on the road. And I just think the loser of that game has got issues.
Virginia Tech is 1-3 kind of against the group, if you will.
Right.
They beat Notre Dame last week, which was, he talked about, critical win for Mike Young's team. They've lost to Wake Forest. They've lost to Duke. They've lost to Virginia. NC State, interesting team, right? The Wolfpack finds themselves in a spot where, and Darion Sebron, in case you missed it, coming up here in a few minutes. The idea with NC State is you're so centered around Sebron, Terquavion Smith. You got guys that can help you make baskets. But you're the close but no cigar team. You've got the overtime loss to Purdue. You're going to have to make up ground in the league. You're one of several that are in this category, by the way. You're not exclusive. But NC State finds themselves, you got to win some home games, man.
Well, that's why tonight, like I said, the loser of this game tonight, I think, has a ridiculous uphill climb. And I'm just not sure.
Right.
I'm sure you're going to go. I mean, if Virginia Tech loses, they go 1-5 in the league, Wes. 1-5. With a tough schedule ahead. They still got a couple with Miami.
How about Carolina Monday night?
Carolina, I mean, it's in front of them. The opportunities are in front of Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
That's why it's so critical for them to continue to figure out a way to, you know, bounce with the win on Notre Dame. If you can beat NC State, okay, you're 2-4. Now there's some momentum. NC State, the flip side, you're 2-5 in the league.
Right.
They've lost a bunch of games at home, Louisville and Clemson in particular. You win this game, hey, you know what? You've proven you can win on the road. See where it goes. If you lose this game, you go 2-6. Kind of feels like an uphill climb for me, especially without Manny Bates. That's a problem. So it's a really important game.
Josh, Chrissy, can we re-rack those standings real quick? Let me get one more look here. I may want to draw a line here.
You in the mood?
Yeah, maybe. I think there's some. Okay, I'm willing to take. I may go Miami, Florida State. Duke, draw line.
For right now, I don't disagree with that.
Miami, Florida State, Duke, draw line. Now, Notre Dame, great to have everybody in Michiana watching on Comcast, right? But let me say this. I think right now Notre Dame's still got to prove me a little more.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I agree.
So I'm going to go Miami, Florida State, Duke. I think Notre Dame and Carolina and Wake Forest. Louisville, you're going to have to answer some questions against Boston College tonight.
ASAP.
Correct. Yep. Somebody needs to pick up the home phone tonight
at
the Yum Center.
Yep.
That's why I think when we talk about games tonight, of the four on the table that impact this right now, I would say BC, Louisville, Virginia Tech, NC State are critical, critical ball games, especially both the Hokies and Wolfpack. We told you that on the other side. Here's the other thing, too. I noticed this toward the bottom. Georgia Tech has Wake Forest tonight in danger of 6 losses. You talk about NC State 2-5, Virginia Tech 1-4. How about Clemson and Pitt, regardless of what happens to the Panthers tonight?
That's why I said to you 5 minutes ago, I think Clemson has reached the tipping point.
Okay.
Because that BC loss, it just goes to show you how important a single game can be.
Right.
You know, you blow a 23-point lead. Clemson at 3-4 is a very different feel than at 2-5.
And absolutely,
and just the mental aspect of, hey, can you get over that hump? Well, we're going to find out Saturday in Little John, and that's why I keep thinking NC State, Virginia Tech tonight for the loser, not so much the winner,
right?
Because the winner's still got a ton of work to do, but the loser just kind of feels like, man, we just fell underneath a bigger boulder, right?
And that's it.
And how can we climb out of this thing?
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Here in Durham on a Wednesday. In case you missed it, Mr. Sebron, who was West Durham's midseason ACC Player of the Year.
Heck yeah.
I made his debut on the show yesterday, in case you missed it.
I'll tell you what, Darion's great to watch. I mean, he is electric with the basketball. And Pac talks about his ability to get through traffic and get to the rim for a guy his size is
explosive.
Is really fun to watch. And tonight, of course, they host Virginia Tech at PNC Arena. We started our visit, though, yesterday by rolling it back to the ACC Big Ten Challenge, because I really think the four overtime game against Nebraska is where Darion Sebron kind of bubbled up on the surface in the ACC. I asked him specifically, was it that game, or did he feel like his big season was already underway that night?
I feel like it was already in the process changing for me. I just felt like each game, like game by game, it was just me like moving forward and just getting better and showing people what I was able to do.
Mm. You know, I mentioned multiple times, Darion, and you and I have never met, never spoken, and I've really enjoyed watching you. But you're like the plastic man, man. Every time I see you on the wing and you decide, hey, I'm going to go attack, you weave through people. It doesn't matter if it's a guard. It doesn't matter if it's a size inside with a center, forward, whatever. You are amazing how you attack the basket. And with that said, who gives you a headache in terms of defensively? I mean, is it the pesky guard? Is it the guy that can put size on you? Is it a big body? Is it a athletic forward? I mean, you tell me, because you just seem to get to the basket with ease, regardless of where you are on the floor. It's amazing to watch.
Thank you. And I want to say probably like a big, like trying to, you know, like defend me at the rim. Like it's kind of, like the shots would be more difficult if I'm trying to finish over a big, whether it's a small guard guarding me, like trying to heat me up or get under me.
But you don't seem to have an, like when you decide, hey, green light, I'm going. And like whoever's on you on the wing, forget, they got no shot. You're by them in 2 seconds because of your size and length. But, man, when you get to the big at the basket, I just love the fact that you attack. It's like I'm not backing off anybody. Let's go. And it's amazing how often you finish the drill. You finish it, man. You're great to watch. I'm just giving you a heads up on that.
Thank you.
Darion, here's the other thing. I'm curious about how the offense has evolved for you, but yet you get all these rebounds too. I mean, you do things at the offensive end, not just from a scoring perspective. I mean, you're doing a really good job with assists. And then defensively, you're getting all sorts of different combinations the way you guys guard. And you're averaging a double-double. So you find yourself literally playing 94 feet of basketball on every sequence here. What's the most important part for you in a game? I mean, do you feel like the scoring's just going to happen? Is it the rebounding? Is it the assist? Is it defensively it's some piece and process of that?
Yeah, I feel like most importantly will be probably defense, like when I'm fatigued or like late in the game. And not even just on the ball defense, just being in the right spot and help. Like you said, like, I feel like the scoring and facilitating rebound, like that's going to come like throughout the game. I just try to like focus in on the defensive assignments, especially like late in the game or like when I'm fatigued.
And here's the other part about your story that I'm intrigued by a little bit. You redshirted as a freshman. And I remember Coach Keats telling me when I was up there to do a game, you know, Sebron's really going to help us. But it was probably good for him and good for us that we redshirted him. Now, looking back on it, where did you benefit from the redshirt? Because clearly, I mean, you got all the tools you need, but did the redshirt help you now in hindsight?
Yeah, I think it most definitely helped me as far as me just being able to practice with the guys, you know, going against Devin Daniels and Markel Johnson and guys like that every day in practice. And then I want to say I got a good chance to take advantage of, like, the weight room my redshirt year, because, like, I was on a different plan than those guys because they was, like, in season, but I wasn't playing, so, like, my stuff could be more, like, a little more intense than the others could.
There's this this post-game deal when you guys went on the road where there's ice cream involved. And Keats has taken us through a couple things where, you know, the ice cream is expected, but it's not always a given. I mean, they got to find the place to get the ice cream.
Yeah, they got to find it first.
Now, we talked to Yeah. We talked to Jericho Helms one time, and there was this revelation that maybe his favorite dessert wasn't ice cream, right, Pac? I mean, he liked it, but it wasn't his, you know, maybe his number one. So are you an ice cream guy, Darion?
I want to say more so probably a smoothie guy. But when we do get ice cream on the road, my favorite would be like vanilla. But it also depends on the place. Like I like Insomnia cookies. I like their vanilla ice cream.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Insomnia cookies.
Yeah, there's a lot to like at Insomnia. I mean, everything. Yeah. You break the door at Insomnia and it's pretty good. Yeah. Okay.
Darion, let me ask you a question. If I, when I was in school 100 years ago, if we had Insomnia cookies invented back then, I'd weigh 425 pounds, man. Because those suckers would be delivered at 2 a.m. every stinking day. I mean, I know you're running up and down the floor like a wild man, but how in the world can you have Insomnia cookies there in Raleigh and that be one of your go-tos and you staying as thin as you are, man? What kind of workouts are we working on here? Huh? Because, I mean, you are real thin, man. There's no way you could be ordering those Insomnia cookies all the time and be that skinny.
Just a lot of running. You know, like, we press full court the whole game. So, like, we always running in transition offensively and defensively. So, I'm always being in shape no matter what I eat.
So, you know, but I want to go back to this ice cream thing a second. Vanilla? I mean, seriously, man, you got a better personality than that. Nobody walks into a store and orders vanilla. Come on.
No, I don't really.
Vanilla?
I don't really like a lot of extra stuff, like especially when I'm eating. Like, I'd rather be plain Jane, regular.
Man, no sprinkles, no fudge, no whipped cream, no cherries.
Nah, none of that.
Dude, let me tell you something. I don't know you, all right? But I'll tell you right now, I love watching you play, but I'm not going out to dinner with you afterwards because I ain't walking around with nobody ordering just vanilla with nothing on the side. Come on, man. You got to come better than that. Vanilla, please. You can't be the midseason player of the year just ordering vanilla ice cream. No way.
Yeah, you can.
You got to get a little chocolate, a little strawberry, a little some nuts are thrown. Come on, man.
Vanilla. I like chocolate chip cookies, though.
Chocolate
and the cookies.
There you go.
Now we're talking. The two cookies with the ice cream, with the vanilla ice cream in the middle.
There you go. That's better.
The cookie witch. I think it's called the cookie witch.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called.
Okay.
I'm getting hungry. Just thinking.
Are you? Yeah. You don't have sweets and stuff like that.
I haven't touched a sweet in 22, and it's driving me crazy.
All right. A couple thoughts here. One, Jericho Helms joined us, what, about a year ago?
I can look it up and tell you exactly.
I'm sure you can. But, okay. Now, I recall he didn't like ice cream at all, right?
He didn't at all.
Okay. Sebron likes vanilla.
And kind of reluctant. Like, if I had to order some, I just order vanilla.
Is Keats got players that don't like ice cream, and yet he takes them to ice cream?
Keats, I tell you, you know what that is? That is a loving coach. Even though you don't like it, I'm still going to deliver. That's Kevin Keats taking care of his guys.
Kevin.
That's what a coach is supposed to do.
Kevin, we love you. By the way, Helms was here February 23rd last year. So
just getting to it.
Okay. It's over there in the research, and that's the research department right there, isn't it?
Hey, this is right here. Go ahead with your thought.
So does Kevin
– February 23rd, 2021.
Well, there you go. Once again, the Lumberjacks. Does Kevin have a problem with ice cream after games? Because we're coming to find out that at least two of his players – ice cream.
Well, here's how I'd look at it before the year 22. If somebody on the team didn't like it, that's okay. Coach, you still deliver it. I'll take care of theirs too.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Now?
Yeah. Sebron done one is a scoop of vanilla. Put it on my tab.
Right.
So, but Keats, I like that whole concept.
I do too. I like going to the gas station with Pastor.
I think it's tremendous. All for it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.